Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome here for those in person, those watching online as well. It's good to see you all in this beautiful day, and I know there's a lot going on. Before we jump into the sermon today, I just want to address what's going on in the U.S. I think it's important to address it quickly because of what's happening and because it impacts our whole world as well. We saw the events, what happened a couple weeks ago, and there's a lot happening. And so I just want to encourage you to pray for what's going on. Because it's important to pray. And I think as you see what's going on too, there's a lot of, you know, potential vitriol and division and whatnot. And it's easy to take a platform and a side. But at the end of the day, every person is a soul that belongs to God. Amen? And I think it's really important that we understand that as well in the light of everything going on, not just in the U.S., but in our country as well, that we approach it with prayer, with wisdom, with clarity from Jesus, as because he's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. And I would encourage you in that because I've seen so much going on the last couple of weeks that has frankly broken my heart in many ways, even reactions from just people and some of the things that have been said. And it just, it breaks my heart because, like I said, every person matters to God. And as we think about what's going on in the U.S., we need to pray. And we think about this gentleman. I know that I don't address a lot from the pulpit when it comes to this sort of thing, but I think it's important just to mention this as well, that as we talk about these things, what's our perspective? Where are we getting our wisdom from? And what are we saying as well? And this young man who lost his life at the rally a couple weeks ago, his name is Corey. He protected his family when the shots were fired. And you all know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you can go on the news and watch. And he lost his life. And I'm not sure why one life was spared and another person passed. I don't know. It's a mystery. But we think of him and his family and what they're going through, two daughters and his wife, and et cetera. So having said all that, I hope you're praying. I really hope you're praying for the U.S., for what's going on with the election, what's happening here in our own country with our leaders as well. I think it's really, really important. I think our neighbor has this flag, which is not a good flag about Trudeau. It waves in his backyard, and it says something pretty nasty about Trudeau. Not a fan of the flag. And I'm mentioning that because I think sometimes we have these opinions, but those aren't helpful for help us moving forward. So having said that, we're going to pray right now. All right? Let's do it. Father, I thank you that you are on the throne. I thank you that everything is providential. And I thank you that you are exactly who you say you are. And Lord, we see this world that we live in. It's troubled. And we know the Bible tells us this world will have much trouble. We should not lose heart. We should not worry. There will be trials and tribulations. And I pray for what's happening in the U.S. I pray for calmness. I pray for unity. I pray there'd be a sense of peace in the midst of so many things going on. Lord, I pray that you would lead this family as well that lost a father and a husband. I pray for comfort for them, as friends and family rally around them. And I know many people are struggling with what happened. And here in Canada, we don't even know what to do. And we feel like we're not a part of it, but we are. Because our prayers matter. And so Lord, we commit the situation to you. We pray for your will to be done in the U.S. in terms of who the next president will be, even for our country here, as we think about what's going on here and the landscape and some of the vitriol. And Lord, I pray as Christ followers that we would be able to pray about these things and in the midst of all, see everyone as a human being. Yeah, we may not agree or necessarily see eye to eye on lots of things, and I can fully appreciate that. But Jesus, we also know that every soul matters to you. And I pray those souls would matter to us as well. Not just worldwide, but not just in Canada, but our neighbors, our community, that we would see people through your eyes, that you'd give us the wisdom to do that, the ability to do that, the strength to do that. So thank you for each person here today. Thank you for what you are doing in the seen and the unseen. We know there is a spiritual battle going on. We know there's a lot at stake. And I pray, Jesus, your gospel would move. The only way our countries in this world is going to change is because of you, Lord. There's no policy. There's none of that. Only repentance will bring this world to a better place and understanding who you are. So, Lord Jesus, I pray you pour out as you would. So thank you for this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm not sure about you. the summer is a good time to work out and get into shape, especially when the weather is nice. However, it's been pretty hot to be able to be outside for much long. But I encourage you to do what you can outside. So today, we're going to be looking at what that means for us spiritually and physically, especially spiritually when it comes to our fitness plan. And the question I had for you this morning simply is, do you have a spiritual fitness plan in your life? There's a couple of quotes about exercise. Whenever I feel like exercising, I lie down until the feeling passes. Perhaps some of you have felt that way. The doctor says to his patient, sorry, but right now you're not in good enough shape to get into shape. And here's a couple of ways to burn some calories too if you don't like exercise. So you can beat around the bush, that's 75 calories burned. You can jump to conclusions, that's 100 calories burned. Climbing walls, that's 150 calories. Swallowing your pride, 50 calories. I think it should be higher, personally. Passing the buck is 25 calories. Dragging your heels is 60 calories. Pushing your luck, 250 calories. Making mountains out of molehills, 500 calories. Hitting the nail on the head, 50 calories. Wading through paperwork, 300 calories. Bending over backwards, 75, a couple more. Jumping on the bandwagon, which many of you did with the Oilers this year, 200 calories. Running around in circles, 350 calories. Tooting your own horn, very low, 25 calories. Adding fuel to the fire, 150. And opening a can of worms worth 50 calories. Now, obviously, we're having some fun with that. But when it comes to getting into physical shape, most people have some sort of program, some sort of idea in mind. There's things we do. There's strength training. We take care of our heart. There's muscle endurance. There's flexibility. There's balancing in what we eat. And you call it a WOE, W-O-E, a way of eating. And everybody has a particular pattern of what they follow. And some things work for others, and some don't work for others as well. One thing's important, too, when we think about getting into physical health is our sleep. How well do we sleep? Studies have proven over and over again how vital sleep is. Now, there are many experts in the media who have many plans for us. You go on YouTube, and there's people everywhere on TikTok, all the social media, there's many people that tell us what to do. And they have different plans for different people. And there's many experts out there. Some are gurus, they would call themselves. And one of the original gurus of the physical fitness era back in the day was Richard Simmons. Richard Simmons. He recently just passed away. He started a lot of the fitness movement way back in the 70s, and he had a thing called Sweatin' to the Oldies. Anybody remember those things? Anybody buy those DVDs or videos? Some confession coming up here. Sweatin' to the Oldies. He would help people get into shape. And he sold over 22 million copies of this particular program, and he would help people plan what to do. And he was really, really good. And as I mentioned before, he just recently passed away. And as we think about the many gurus you think about, and you think about the plans that are out there, and as I said, lots of plans cater to different needs and different desires and personalities. But I want to talk this morning about something that we can all do regardless of where you are in the spiritual journey. If you're a Christ follower, these things fit for you. If you're seeking out who Jesus is, this can fit for you as well to explore what Christianity is about by diving into these things. We've talked a lot about the basics of faith, and I said this morning in our prayer time that sometimes we get so far ahead of ourselves that we forget the basics of the faith, the understandings of Scripture. I'd much rather us live out one or two Scriptures in our life than be a theological giant. Because if we're not living out certain Scriptures in our life, like love God and love our neighbors, then we got a problem. So that's why I think it's really important to get to the basics and to understand it as well, especially in the summer, because this is a great opportunity to get back into spiritual shape. So if you were to evaluate yourself this morning, not just physically where you are in shape, but where you are spiritually, are you in spiritual shape today? And what are those things you're doing that are going to contribute to your spiritual journey? When it comes to physical exercise, there's lots of things we can do. We can work out, we can eat well, and we're committed to those things. And we can see those changes over some time. But when it comes to our spiritual journey, we don't always see changes right away. But we still should have a plan to be able to have a relation with God that is thriving and growing. Now, many of these things today you might hear for the first time, or they might be repeats for you. However, having said that, I think one of the things we have to understand, too, is when we hear something over and over again, there's a repetition to it, it's a good thing. So I encourage you, please, for those in person, those watching online, that you not shut down and be like, oh, I've heard this again, but you would actually engage in this and ask yourself the question, where are you spiritually and what does your spiritual fitness look like? Do you have spiritual stamina? Do you have spiritual endurance? Are you feeding yourself the right things that God gives us? And we're going to talk about, again, some things we all know. And if you don't know, these will be refreshing for you as well. I think it's hopefully refreshing for all of us this morning. So the first one, and you all know what I'm going to say most likely. If you don't, reading the Word of God. How vital and how important it is. I know you hear that over and over and over and over at the church. Your friends have told you that. I've said it many times. But the reason it's said so many times is because it's so important. See, when it comes to physical exercise, one of the things people always talk about is showing up but being consistent. You know, the 80% rule. You 80% of the time do really well. When it comes to the Bible, we got to show up. We got to be consistent. We got to be in the Word. And it's important for us because it nurtures our soul. This isn't just something we preach on, but it's something that's so important and valuable for every single one of us. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 19. It says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are than the gold, even much finer than gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. And that's the Word of God. It tells us what it's good and what it's good for. When Jesus was in the desert, he was tempted. What did he use as his weapon? The Bible. He said this, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amazing. And it's by the Word of God that we can resist sin. The Bible says this in Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's a question. It's not just a statement. It's a question for us there. By doing what? By guarding it according to your word. So our hearts can be guarded by God's word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. That's David in his Psalms. He talks about that. Do you do that? Have you wandered from his commandments? Do you store up the word of God in your heart so we will make choices that honor him? And I think we can read the word of God and it can rote. It can just become a robotic habit because we're told to do it, but there's no movement of the spirit. Because when we go into it, our attitude is, oh, I just got to read this because I was told to. Versus going in with anticipation, an open heart, a teachability, and asking, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would illuminate what I need to learn today. That you change me from the inside out. That you help me become more like you. That's really, really important. So, how well are we reading our Bible? This isn't a guilt question. It's a question of, where are you getting your influence from? And as you think about that today, perhaps you need to rethink your devotional life. Change it up over the summer. Maybe add something to it. Maybe go outside. Maybe whatever that looks like for you. But are you in God's word? Because it guards our heart. The reading of God's word is so important. It's about creating a daily habit for us. It's about progressing through the Bible and perhaps even staying in a book of the Bible for a while. Perhaps a scripture or a passage or a chapter and staying there and camping out there. We don't have to read the whole Bible. But if you're called to stay in certain scriptures for a while and meditate on those scriptures and journal on those scriptures, I encourage you to do that. I often spend certain times in Philippians, especially Philippians chapter 2. I'll rest there for weeks, just circling words and asking the Spirit to lead me through those scripture and what it means and how it can change my life as well. We can do those things. Write in your Bible. Get a journal. Whatever it takes to spend time in the Word, I encourage you to do that. So that's our first one. And as we understand God's scriptures, we'll be able to be more equipped to deal with what's happening in this world that we live in as well. The next one, the power of prayer. Now, great quote there, right? Time spent in prayer is never wasted, ever. And it's an important thing to consider. I know we've heard this before over and over again. But the question is, are we praying? I'm not just talking about informal situations, but the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. Are we praying about all those things around us that we see day to day? Are we praying about the things that we see on the news? Are we spending time with the Lord to pray? It isn't about just spending time with him, but it changes us from the inside out when we spend time in prayer. How well are we doing that today? You know, we have our Wednesday evening prayer walks. And I'll be very honest with you. I know it's been really hot, but I'm very disappointed in the turnout. I'll just be clear about that. Because I think one of our values in our church is prayer. But when we have a limited people coming, it's discouraging, to be quite honest with you. So the question I ask is, if we really believe in the value of prayer, we should be showing up at these meetings. We should be praying about the things that are happening in our church, in our community. And I'm not saying you're not praying. But what I'm saying is when other people gather to pray together, there's encouragement in that. It's a good thing to see other brothers and sisters come together to pray together. And I encourage you to do that. So the Word of God allows us to understand that we are forgiven by God. There's a peace from God. Philippians talks about that. There's a strength from God, which comes in Ephesians. There's opportunities from God. There's a boldness that comes from God. There's wisdom as well and healing. These things come from prayer. And how well are we doing that? And together when we pray and we're praying fervently about the things that are going on, we pray for forgiveness. We ask for strength. We pray for boldness and opportunity, those things to come. How well are we doing that today? We need prayer for peace and healing as well, to pray for our neighbors, in our families, in our friends. And it's a prayer of thanksgiving as well. It helps us strengthen our relationship with God and with other people. I was speaking at Calvary Baptist last week in Edmonton and had an opportunity, my wife and I, to pray with a bunch of their folks there together. It was a fantastic, powerful prayer time. It was amazing. And what was really great after the service, as I was watching and observing, there were people just naturally coming together and praying for each other. And I leaned over to Laura. I said, this is a beautiful picture. This is a beautiful picture. And people were praying. And it just felt so natural. As we think about that, for us as a church and us individually, how well do we do that with each other? That we offer ourselves up to sit and pray with someone. That we'll send somebody perhaps a text or an email to say, I am praying for you. Or even write out a prayer to them to encourage them as well. How important that is. So we've got reading the Bible, we've got prayer. And the next one, again, perhaps you've heard this from me and others, singing praises to God. Music, worship, whatever that looks like for you. It's honestly, it's a real blessing and privilege for us to come to the church and sing. It's important for us to do that. And when we worship the Lord, good things happen. Here's a story of scripture, Acts 16. This is Paul and Silas, and they're in prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, did you catch that? They're in jail. And they're singing hymns of praise. Like, come on, man. That's amazing. Now, we might take that for granted and think, oh, big deal. They're in jail. Picture yourself right now in prison right now. In a small cell. By yourself. Surrounded by other inmates. How would you react? How would you behave? And here Paul and Silas, what are they doing? They're singing hymns. Beautiful. Goes on to say, they're singing hymns to God, audience of one, and the prisoners were listening to them. Did you catch that? So we sing, others listen. Our neighbors hear us, and it draws attention to God. And suddenly, there's a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. So they're shackled. There's an earthquake happens, and these people are free. So when we think about this, this Philippian jailer is watching what's going on. You can read the story on your own if you like. It's Acts 16. Philippian jailer sees what's going on. He's obviously now concerned because these prisoners are now escaping. And he's about to take his own life. And Paul and Silas intervene. And this man ends up giving his life to Christ, commits, got converted, All because of what? Obviously the power of the Holy Spirit. But what were they doing? They were singing hymns. That's the kind of God we serve. So they were filled with joy to sing in prison. The Bible says this in Colossians 3:16, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." See, when we sing praises to God, it is foundational in our spiritual well-being. It's one of those things we need to be doing with a heartfelt emotion there. And instead of just saying these words about how powerful God is, how much He changed us, we have to look at our countenance as well. How many of us are on our phone during worship? How many of us have our hands in our pocket just staring at the floor? Lord, thank you for saving me. And yet there's no joy in our life. When people watch us, they're like, who are you singing to? Because those words don't match our actions. Now, I'm not saying we need to stand up here and dance and have banners and flags. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, when we come to the house of the Lord and we come in to worship Him, regardless what the song might be, we come with an attitude of serving Him. And we worship Him. And we sing those praises with joy to know that we are saved. That melody in our heart is shown in our spirit. There's a song that I am hooked on right now. It's on my constant playlist. It's called Bless God. And many of you probably heard it. If you haven't, it's a fantastic song. And I listen to it many, many times a day. And the words are powerful. And it causes me to just stop and be in awe of who God is. As we think about that today, how well are you worshiping today? And I'm not just talking about what you look like, but what's your heart like? How do you worship God outside of this place? When was the last time you had a dance party with Jesus? Whoa, I said dance in the church. Yes, I did. But what I mean by that is, when was the last time you turned on some worship music in your home and you danced unto the Lord when no one else is watching? You ever done that before? It's amazing. And you come, you listen to music, and you it's not an emotional reaction to the song, but something should move in our spirit when we're worshiping God, amen? Something has to give. It's powerful when you watch others worship. It's encouraging when you see others worship. And worship comes in many forms, but I'm talking specifically now about the songs we sing and our posture. So how well do you praise the Lord? And if you haven't had a chance for you to turn on some music to the Lord and it's just you by yourself, if you ever done that in your life, it's a real blessing. It really is. Now, I don't tell people that, but I'm telling you because I want you to know it's an important thing to be doing as you consider that too. We can talk about hymns. We can sing different songs. You can sing while you're driving to work. You can do all these things quietly in your heart, out loud. It doesn't matter, but the melody in our heart matters. Let's keep going. The importance of fellowship. Now, the church is a body. It's a body of Christ. It's built up of many parts. The Bible tells us that, and we assemble together to connect. Hebrews 10 says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promises faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." See, frequent fellowship is important to do. And it's not just hanging out, but how well do you know people? How well do people know your struggle? How well do people share their struggle with you as well? Have we created safe environments where we're being intentional and having meaningful conversations, that when we assemble as a congregation and we assemble outside of these places, that we're talking more than just what happened with the weather or just at work? And those things are good, but what are we talking about in terms of our faith with Christ, our struggles and our challenges? I've heard and seen many situations where people are in small groups together, in Bible studies together, in fellowship together for years. And then things happen in a marriage. A marriage splits off, and nobody had a clue within that group because there was no genuine, authentic, intentional relationship. Everything was surface. Everything stayed safe. There wasn't the reality of exposing my heart to see and to show that this is how weak I am, this is how sinful I am, these are the choices I struggle with, to being that vulnerable. How well do we do that with people in our lives? See, we can tell part of the story, and most of us do a really good job of that, but we don't tell the full story. And we tell the full story, there's freedom if there's things we're dealing with and doing that perhaps aren't helping us in our relationship with Jesus and others. So fellowship is very, very important. And there's great ways to do this. We can do it after church. We can do it during the week. We can do it through Bible studies. We can do it through social activities. But how well are we doing that? You know, one of the biggest things Christians face in this world today is loneliness. Many folks don't have many friends. And I think there's many of those that feel the way today, including those in this church today. There's people that know of us, that know about us, but they don't know the depths of our heart. And I think it's important to understand this as well, that we don't just share our hearts with every single person, but we find a couple of safe people that we can share. And not just our struggle, but to listen, to confess our sins to one another, to be able to do that. I have a phone call tomorrow, a FaceTime phone call with my brothers in Ontario. And that's what we'll be talking about, sharing our hearts with one another, confessing our sins to one another. So I'm pretty intentional about these things because it helps me. Because I know all of us, including myself, have shadows. We all have dark sides. And let's be honest and real about that. Every single one of us, including me, has those and those watching online. That's why we need people in our life, in fellowship, in community, that can come alongside to encourage us, to challenge us, to love us. And if you think you're too good or you're too far along to have people speak in your life, you've already bought into the lie. You've already bought into the lie and you're already in trouble. God sees all things. When we have community, we experience deep Christian fellowship. Acts chapter 2. It's a beautiful picture of the church. So friends, how well are you doing there in terms of fellowship? And if you come here today and you're feeling like you're in a place of despair or loneliness or struggle, you want someone to talk to or pray with, I'm available. Worship team people are available, others as well. We don't want you to leave not feeling somewhat encouraged. All right, let's keep going. Are you guys still with me? Three of you are, amen. The role of good works. Now, let me be very clear about this. We are not saved by our works. Here's what the Bible says. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So please hear that. For by grace you have been saved by faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Titus 3 says this. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So you capture that. We are saved by grace. It is a gift from God. But when we think about good works, are we actively building God's kingdom? See, they go hand in hand. The book of James talks about this as well, that we minister with one another, that we help with physical needs and spiritual needs, that we serve where we're called to serve, that we share the gospel with the lost, that we come alongside. We don't just hold on to the Christian faith for ourselves. Even though it's a gift, it's a blessing, but we give it away to other people. And we serve in how God's wired us to be. How well are you serving? Are you serving in our local church? Are you serving in our community? You might ask the question, well, I don't have time, I'm too busy, I have a lot going on. Yeah, I understand all those things. But we're still called to serve. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, I encourage you to find those things out. There's many spiritual gifts on Test Online that are free. And if you want to talk about those things, I'm more than open to having a conversation with you to understand what your spiritual gifts are so you can put the gifts that God has given you into practice. Because it builds up the body. It encourages the body of Christ. As we think about the fall coming up and the ministries will be kicking off again, how can you help out? Where is God calling you to help? Doing good works is a good thing. It's not because we are earning our salvation. It's because we want to build God's kingdom. That's why we do it. That's our motivation, I hope. It isn't for the applause of other people. It isn't for the affirmation of other people. Even those things are okay. It's okay when someone says to you, well done. But at the end of the day, what we do is for an audience of one. And how well are we doing there? So I'm going to wrap this up. So reading the Word of God, spending time in prayer, singing praises, fellowship, and doing good works. We got to engage in these things on a regular basis. And some of these things on a daily basis. And these are the basics of the faith. We all know that. And if you don't know that, I hope this encouraged you. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have to have a plan every single moment of our life, but I would suggest this. If we do not have a spiritual foundation in our life, a spiritual plan, we will fail. If you don't plan anything in this life, we will fail. It can be anything. But if we don't have a plan spiritually, we will drift. We'll drift so far from the shore, we won't even be able to see it anymore. But when we drift, we put down that anchor, which is Jesus, the gospel, the one who came to die for our sin on the cross. He is the one we should be leaning into. So how well is your spiritual fitness, friends? How well are you doing? This is a simple heart check for all of us to ask these questions. And I encourage you today, if you're able, to have a conversation with someone, to ask and share where you might be and evaluate these things and be honest and real. I know it takes some courage to do that, but I encourage you to do that. And maybe perhaps that opens up conversations for different things that can happen into the future. Now, physical fitness, often people evaluate their goals and their journey. And that's what I'm asking you to do, to evaluate. And physical fitness, often people look at 3 months and they'll look back and say, how am I doing? And if the results aren't going the way they think they should, they'll go back and they'll tweak. Same thing spiritually. If we are drifting and we're doing what we can to engage with Jesus and things aren't going so well for us, we need to take a time out and reevaluate and make some changes. Maybe there's things in our life we're seeing and doing that we shouldn't be doing that continue to feed into this lifestyle that we should not be a part of. 1 Timothy 4 says this, have nothing to do with irreverent silliness, rather train yourself for godliness. Train. Did you catch that word there? Circle it in your Bible. Train. It takes effort not to earn your salvation. But it takes discipline to follow the Lord. I'm not sure about you, but I don't wake up every day going, well, someone's going to read my Bible to me. Someone's going to pray for all my prayers today. There's discipline. There's training involved. So please know that. And what does it say here? Training yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, so let me stop there for a second. Exercise, those things are good. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, some nice biceps and getting the shit. It's all good. But those things are vapor when it comes to, because if we are doing well physically, but we are distant spiritually as a Christ follower, there's a huge disconnect. But those things go hand in hand and together. They absolutely can fit amazingly well. Training is of some value. Godliness is a value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life. Catch that? Today. And for what? The life to come. Do you get that? the life to come. Meaning this, everything we're doing here on this earth, physically, but specifically spiritually, is what? An investment into the next life. We will get the greatest return in our investments when our investments are part of the kingdom. There is no greater value in return outside of the things of the kingdom. So I just have one question for you today. Do you have a spiritual exercise plan that exercises your heart and soul with Jesus? I want you to reflect on that question today. I want you to think about that question throughout the day. Write it down. Do what you need to do. Don't just leave and think there's a challenge, but do something about this. What is your plan? And if you don't have a plan, you don't know how to put a plan together, I'm more than willing to sit with you. Because every person is different, amen? Some of y'all folks love getting up 5 in the morning and having devotionals. Some of y'all like to do it in the evening. Some people in the morning, don't talk to me. I'm reading my Bible. They're grumpy. That's okay. That's okay. God doesn't want us to be robots. But if you get value and you're in a good place to read the word, whatever time of day, are you in it? So reflect on that question. And I pray and I hope that this does somewhat encourage you and challenge you and helps us understand that we all need a plan. Because you know else who has a plan to come after us? The enemy of our soul. John 8 talks about what? Satan is the father of lies. He will do whatever he can. He's on plan right now. He has tactics, he has schemes to come after the church, to come after Christ's followers. If you don't believe that, read the Bible. So if we don't have a plan to engage with Jesus, the enemy is going to covertly come in and dissuade us and cause us to sin and do things that do not honor the Lord, both privately and publicly. He has a plan, but God is greater than the enemy. Jesus has defeated Satan, and he knows Satan has limited time. But the battle belongs to the Lord. The grave is empty. The resurrection of Christ is alive and well today. So when the enemy comes to lie to you, you say to him, you are the father of lies. I don't believe a word you are saying. If you're a Christ follower, you are a child of God. You belong to the Most High. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would first just meet us exactly where we're at and the things that are going on in our life, the things that we're thinking through and struggling through. And Lord, I pray that we could look at our spiritual life as a journey, knowing that we're going to struggle in certain areas. But I pray, Jesus, we would have a plan that would be able to show us how we can grow and spend time with you and give us wisdom in that. I pray it's rich for our soul. I pray there's an opportunity to bring things to you that we need to bring, that we'd be in the word, that we would pray, that we'd have fellowship with people, Lord, that we'd serve, that we do these things to honor you, Lord. So I thank you for your love. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you that we can read your word. And Lord, I know we're all in a different place today. And I know there's so many things we're all dealing with in the secrets of our hearts that perhaps nobody else sees, the pain, the struggle, the reality of where we're actually at in life. And so, Lord, I pray you come upon us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That you bring healing where it needs to come, that you bring conviction where it needs to come, and that our hearts would never be so hard that we don't listen to the leading of the Spirit anymore. So Jesus, as we continue to worship you, I pray that our spiritual fitness is in a place of endurance and stamina that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.